prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Where faith and reason coexist, kind of, sort of.
This is where they meet, Dave.
No.
This is where faith and reason meet together. This is like eHarmony for logic and religion.
I'm, like, really tired of the other, and it doesn't return the phone calls. And
No, it doesn't work
like that. Faith and reason totally exist right here.
That's right.
It doesn't everywhere,
return
actually.
The phone calls. Stop stalking me, Faith. No, I want you, reason. All right, today in the news, there is an Earth-like planet that they have found just like ours.
Really?
Yes, out there.
It turns out there's only a big mirror out there.
No, they found one. We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
We have a Bible contradiction.
As always.
Did Saul's companions hear a voice or not? One says yes, one verse says no. Is the Bible wrong? The
Bible's always wrong for about 5 minutes.
Until we disown that contradiction.
Yeah.
I disown you, contradiction. And then, of course, today is a very special day.
Yes, it is.
This is known as Orphan Sunday. And we love Orphan Sunday at Revolution Church because we love helping orphans and children who are in foster care, children who are in need of loving, responsible adults.
Right, and that's one of the things this Bible makes clear is that we're to do. It's we're to take care of orphans and widows.
That's right. And if you don't want to, then just tune the show out today.
Right.
But you'll get booed for it.
You will.
No.
Boo.
I'm a foster parent. Stop booing me for that. I'm a foster parent, and that's a good thing. And we get really passionate about taking care of orphans, and that's what I want to talk about today. Because every single time a child is taken out of his home and put into foster care, or some parents die, and there is a child who's orphaned, that child needs a place to go.
Yeah. And not only, just a place to go. This is a traumatic time for a child.
Absolutely.
You know, to be either, you know, ripped away from the parents or have the parents ripped away from them. So it takes good people. And there are good people out there that need to get involved.
One time we took a foster kid in. We'll call him Gregory. We picked him up from the police station. Got a call. There's two children that need a place to stay. It was him and his younger brother. And we get there and we give him a big stuffed animal. Because he's crying. He's scared. He's lonely. So we give him this animal. And he says, okay. And his tears dry up a little bit. He's got no words. He's 2 years old, but he cannot speak or talk yet except for okay and maybe an uh-oh. And he does this kind of laugh where it's just kind of this funny little laugh and where he breathes in way too much when he laughs. He got blonde hair and blue eyes. He's just genuinely a cute kid.
Okay.
And his smile is amazing. It just knocks you out. And we get home. He picks out a toy truck. We take turns crashing the thing. I mean, this is a little boy, right? He wants to crash his truck. Right.
That's what
fun.
Little boys do.
That's right. And you would think he was just fine. But he is dirty. And so we take him to the bathtub. We take off his shirt. And there we see these bruises. And not bruises from playing. You see very clearly the shape of a hand on his side where his ribs are. Mm-hmm. And it struck him so hard and so deeply that the entire area is a bruise in the shape of a hand, and it is cut on the sides, on the outline, all the way around, that it broke the skin where he hit. And then we see cigarette burns. And my eyes tear up, and my breath is taken away as I realize some of the things that this child has had to go through. These kids need our help.
Oh, definitely. You know, it's the fortunate thing is that most of us don't have to have to live that kind of life.
Mm.
But there are those kids that live that kind of life that it's just really sad.
Yeah. There was one foster girl we had. She was about 6 and she said, "I don't really see my mom, but sometimes she gives me cards. And when I get the cards, they make me sad and I cry. But Jesus gave me a beautiful voice to sing with because he knew that I would need to sing."
Amen.
And man, it's just like when kids tell you stuff like that, you just start to lose it. And you, I'm 35 years old, 200 pounds. I'm a big man. But I cry sometimes. Right? That's ridiculous.
Big crying teddy bear.
Kids, man, they mess you up. Today, I'm going to argue that taking care of children in foster care and adopting orphans, it is the example of Christian love. Not a example, not a good example, but the example, the primary example. The problem is many people view adoption as second rate. You know, we have this proverbial fear.
Oh, yeah. I'm adopted. You're adopted.
What? Yeah. I'm adopted. No. Yeah. And it's like our whole world just goes. When I was a kid, I had this weird fear that I was adopted. And I would go look at my baby book every now and then just to be sure, like, okay, I was there as a baby. Uh-huh. And then... many view adoption as second rate, but adoption was God's plan from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's not second rate. Listen to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. This is where we're going to start today.
All right, Ephesians 1, 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight.
Okay, we were chosen by God to be saved before the world began. What was before the world, Dave?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing, right? God created ex nihilo. Right. However.
So you're saying before he even created anything,
yes,
he had adoption in mind.
Exactly. Before he created the world, adoption was in his mind. God's plan from the beginning was to save us. Not merely as a response to Adam's sin, but this was part of God's plan. Look at the next verse, Ephesians 1:4 to verse 5.
1:4b to 5. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will.
In love, he predestined us to what? Be adopted.
Amen.
Before the creation of the world, he chose us to be adopted, and God chooses to describe his grand cosmic plan for the redemption of humankind as adoption. I think this is extremely significant. God chooses his words carefully, doesn't he?
Oh, definitely.
I want you to think about your relationship to God right now. If God didn't believe in adoption, you would be eternally condemned.
Oh, yeah.
God chose to use the phrase adoption on purpose when talking about saving you. Jewish theologians, including Paul, who wrote the New Testament, they believed that history from the very beginning was moving towards a mountaintop, a pinnacle, when God would redeem his people. And when Jesus Christ came, that was that pinnacle. He came, it was the mountaintop experience for all humanity, the climax of all history, physical, emotional, spiritually, is described as our adoption because of Jesus.
And you know, this is an uplifting thought because not only does it assure us of the love from God or the love that God has for us, but it's also an assurance that, hey, he had a plan.
Oh, no kidding.
He's not just willy-nilling it here.
Yeah.
He's not just making it up as he goes. He had a plan.
That is exactly right. Romans 8:15 says, you did not receive the spirit of slavery, leading again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And that word Abba and the description here of God as a father, it's literally meaning daddy. Our spirits, when we see what God does, we are adopted and our souls cry out to God and say, daddy, daddy, I need you. And that is the spiritual reality of our souls. But the other reality is that there's many children in our world who not only do they not know God yet, they have no one to say daddy to or mommy to. They have no family. The spiritual reality we experience without knowing God is an emotional and physical reality for them every single day. I took in a 9-year-old. This child was a girl a few years ago, and she was only with us for a few hours until she looked at me and she said, "Can I call you Dad?" She needed a family's love so bad that she was begging for it even after a few hours.
Right.
Now, what happens to that girl when she turns 18? And there's no dad there to push around the guys who want her.
Right, and only that, she's not grounded because, you know, the Bible says if you're not grounded, this is paraphrasing, of course, if you're not grounded, you can be blown left and right and to and fro like the leaves in the wind or waves in the water.
She's all alone. What is she going to do during Christmas, during Thanksgiving? Mm. How is she going to pay for school? If we've been adopted by God and it was his grand cosmic plan, adoption and foster care are a mirror to God's adoption of us. welcoming in the needy who have no mommy or daddy or who can care for them. An example that I give to you is 1 John 4, verses 10 to 12. And it starts out by saying, this is love. So this is the definition right here.
All right, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us.
Think about that for a minute. Because of the extreme love God gave us, this verse is telling us we should generously give that love to others.
Amen.
Look, this is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us.
Mm-hmm. And God gives love in such abundance that we could never keep it all anyway.
Right. God loved us. And you should love others. That's right. Right there. That's it. If we love one another, God lives in us. That's what it says. It should be impossible for us as Christians to receive such a great gift of love and of adoption and not somehow pass it on to others.
Amen. Hey, yo, God, I know you adopted me and you loved me and you helped me. But when I heard about the orphans and foster kids on earth, I didn't do nothing, yo.
Right, I just sat there.
I took the love in. I just didn't feel like I had enough to give, you know?
Right.
So that's what I'm saying, God. You know, you understand, right?
That's a beautiful voice.
That was my Rocky got punched in the head too many times.
Yo, Adrian.
Yo, God, I love you.
Yeah.
I just ain't going to do nothing about it.
Right. And to just bathe in God's love and not give it to others.
Mm.
I mean, that's a sin.
Yeah. Helping the orphan or the foster child, it's not just a good thing. You see, it was God's plan from the beginning. It was his way of showing love. It's the focal point of justice.
Hmm.
It is the act of Christian love. Notice, the act, not an act. The act of Christian love, because it's what Christ did for us. God adopted us. He stepped in when he didn't have to. And he loved us. He adopted us. And we should, too, care for orphans as a mirror of what God's love has done for us. All right. Now, we're going to stop there for a minute because we got a Bible contradiction today to answer, just like always.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Bible contradiction today brought to you by infidels.org.
Oh, I love the little infidels.
Little infidels.
I shouldn't say
I think we're the little infidels is what they're saying.
No, they're not.
I don't know what they're saying. Anyway.
They're infidels.
But you know what? 9 times out of 10, I'll say 9.9 times out of 10, they don't know what they're saying.
You know what's bad? Mm. When I get along with the infidels better than religious people.
That's true.
That's not a bad thing, I guess.
Yeah. All right, check it out.
They have such good questions,
they
though.
They do.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, Dave, okay, but...
But we've got a bona fide contradiction within the same book of the Bible.
We're dead now.
Yeah, check it out. Did Saul or Paul's companions hear a voice or not? Acts 9:7 says, "And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man."
Okay, they heard
it. So they heard the voice, but they saw no one. Acts 22:9, "My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me."
What? Wow, Bible contradiction.
What?
Bible's true.
You can't just be that quick about it. What's up? Explain.
Okay.
I'm sure you will.
All right. In our CRACKED acronym, C-R-A-C-K-E-D, this is how we solve Bible contradictions. We should make a song with that in it.
Yeah, you passed a lot of spelling bees, I'm sure.
CRACKED. The second C is credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Just read carefully and think for a moment. Give these guys some credit that the writer of the book of Acts is not so dumb. Give him a little credit here. In Acts 9, he says they were hearing a voice but seeing no man.
Right.
In chapter 22, it says they did not understand the voice.
Aha!
Does this say that they heard no voice?
Oh, no. This happened between me and my mom all the time. I was hearing her voice always.
Yeah, but you didn't know what she said. Exactly. Both of these verses say that they heard the voice. One of them says they heard it, but they didn't understand it. This is not a contradiction. They heard it. Both verses agree they heard it. Neither verse says that they didn't understand or that they understood it. One just says they heard it. The other one says they heard it, but didn't understand it. That's not a contradiction
Larry Bird fade from the corner.
So anyway, hey. Get over to Revolution Church this morning because definitely. We have two services every Sunday, 9 o'clock and 11:15 a.m. Also, get the truthrevolution.tv, and we'll be back on the other side of this break talking about foster care and orphans. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
You're invited to Revolution Church this Sunday. Don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning, just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, salinarevolution.com. www.salinarevolution.com.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same, to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Why do Christians think that a non-believer would be convinced by saying to them, Jesus is alive in my heart, or I feel he is real?
That's a good question, and I can certainly understand why that would be confusing.
It's not really a logical argument for God's existence.
Not a traditional one, no, and it can't really prove anything, but it should at least encourage people to take the belief seriously.
And why is that?
Think of your best friend from childhood. What if you were telling a story about her and someone said, I don't think she's real?
Ah, your first reaction would really be, of course she is. I knew her.
Right. Initially, you don't pull out documentation to support her existence, and even if no external evidence at all could be found for that child's existence, your experiences would still drive your belief.
Of course, there's plenty of evidence for God, but just because a Christian speaks about their testimony doesn't mean they disregard the evidence.
So trust the evidence, but don't throw away the testimony.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Truth Revolution.
And we are back.
Talking about adoption and foster care.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says that God is the father to the fatherless.
It does say that. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's true. I believe God, actually, you bring that up. We had some foster kids who, their dad was deceased. Uh-huh. And I read them this verse and I explained that God takes special interest in them because they have no earthly father. And you should have seen their eyes grew wide. And they said, is that for real?
Totally for real.
It's for real. And they're like, wow. And man, when we can bring in orphans and kids in foster care and explain these realities to them, mm-hmm. it's so helpful. It's so eye-opening to them. 1 John 4, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son. Okay, we know that. Mm-hmm. He sent Jesus to us because he loved us. Then it says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God's love lives in us and love is made complete in us.
Amen.
Man, because of that extreme love, we need to generously share it with others. That's what we've got to do. So we've been saying that loving the orphan, loving the kid in foster care, it's not just a good thing. It's like the thing.
Right. And, this is the future generations that we're talking about, too. And you just never know who somebody's going to turn out to be with a little bit of love mm-hmm. and nurturing.
That's right.
Some of these kids don't get it.
There are 50 to 150 million orphans worldwide.
Wow.
So if, listener, if you could adopt 150 million kids, we'd solve this problem. Now you can't, but don't worry.
It's a big house.
Here's what happens. Like, we give these numbers and people kind of tune out like, oh, there's nothing I can do.
Right.
Okay. There's maybe 400,000 children in foster care in the United States. In Kansas, there are about a little more than 200 kids who need to be adopted in Kansas. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many churches are in the state of Kansas?
How many?
A lot, more than 200.
You think?
There's like almost 100 in Salina, in one city.
Yeah.
There's between 50 and 100. There, in Saline County, there are only 30-some kids about there that need to be adopted. Just that, just 30-some. There are more than 30 people listening to this radio show right now.
Amen.
There are hundreds of you. Yeah. If each listener took this seriously and adopted one kid, there would be zero orphans in Kansas.
And that would be a dent. It would be.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, you know, the thing is that I think about that, the girl on the beach throwing the starfish back in to the water, you know, because they were stuck on the beach. It's an anecdote, Jeff. Just go along with it. Little girl, chucking a starfish back in, okay, in the water, and somebody says, "Little girl, there are too many starfish. You're not going to possibly make a difference." She picks up another starfish and throws it into the ocean. She said, "I made a difference to that one."
Yeah. That's awesome.
You know.
Mother Teresa, I believe it was Mother Teresa who said, if you can't help a million people, help one.
Amen.
You can't adopt 150 million kids.
No, it's just too big.
You can't.
You don't have a house big enough.
You can't take in 400,000 kids. But you know what? You can help one.
Mm-hmm.
And when the tears of that kid come down and he hugs you and he says, "Thank you." We had some kids come back and visit us who we had in foster care for over a year. And they're sitting at dinner, and the boy, he stopped, and he just looked at me, and he said, "I'm so glad we met you."
That's awesome.
And they're back home now, and they're in a good situation, and things are great for them, and they still come to visit us. It's just awesome.
That is awesome.
You know, James 1:27, for those of you who believe in God, it says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself being polluted from the world." Pure and faultless, they're synonyms. Mm-hmm. He means like very clean. Like, you want the type of religion God wants? You want really good religion? Then stop being all religious and just help orphans.
Right.
I mean, really, that's what he's saying. He's like, look, oh, you think you're really religious because you go to church every week, or because you do everything right, or because you're trying really hard? Stop all that. How about you just help this kid who needs it?
Right.
That's what God wants. Our responsibility to the orphans starts with this: to look after them, according to that verse. And it means, this was written in Greek, and look after them means to take it upon our shoulders to take custody, or at least to have some thoughtful oversight over. Mm-hmm. That's what that means from the Bible. You have to have this thoughtful oversight over these orphans. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, because of your situation, that you can't possibly take in kids, there are still things you can do. It's not over. I mean, there are plenty of ways to help orphans and kids in foster care without bringing them into your home. So you have to open your eyes and pay attention a little bit.
So pay attention now.
That's right. I just told
gonna tell you.
There's another verse, Psalm 82. It says this: "Defend the cause of the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and needy." You have to defend the cause, meaning you look out for them in a legal sense. Mm-hmm. Help them overcome the terrible system of injustice that lets them down. There's this thing called CASA in Saline County, probably in your county too, if you're not in Saline County, listener. And there are these CASA organizations where you actually go with a child into court and you speak to the judge on behalf of these kids. Each kid is assigned a guardian ad litem, and the guardian ad litem is basically a lawyer on behalf of the kid.
Right.
They do a great job, but they have like approximately 10 million cases per guardian ad litem.
Ah.
And that's a rough estimate. But I mean, you know how it goes. They're extremely busy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard for them to focus on the kid. The CASA volunteer takes a child and advocates on their behalf to the legal system. That makes a huge difference without taking the child into your home.
Right.
You know, Proverbs,
give the child a voice.
Yeah, Proverbs 31 says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves." We're there. We got to speak up for these kids. Literally, you open your mouth for their cause, is what this verse is saying. And so speak up for them when you have a chance,
right,
to.
Right. Well, you look at a lawyer. I mean, a lawyer can't possibly, with all the cases they have, can't possibly get to know personally a child that they can defend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get to know a child that you yourself can defend and know its needs, knows its wants, and you know the things that you know that yes. they need to care about.
That's right. All right, hey, we're gonna take a break from this for a second because we want to talk about a planet that was discovered.
Uh-huh.
I got a question.
We got a question?
Well, it's not really a question.
Oh, you got a question.
I got a question. I know we normally try to answer listener questions, but this is in the news, and I wanted to talk about it so bad.
It does raise questions.
So those of you who sent questions in, keep sending them in. We're going to try to hit them. But the AP report, scientists have found a planet way out in the cosmos that's close in size and content to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
An astronomical first.
It's got a rocky core like ours.
It does have a rocky core, just like ours.
Yo, Adrian.
I'm inside this planet.
I'm on a new planet, but I ain't doing foster care.
Is that right? Jeez.
We're terrible.
Someone's going to think we have mental problems.
Mm, yeah, well.
They'd probably be right.
It's okay.
But anyway, so this planet, you know, the headline was Earth-sized planet found with rocky core like ours. And wow, it's like, wow, this is amazing. Maybe there's life on another planet that they found. But problem is, this world's so close to its sun that it's 2,000 degrees hotter than here.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait, didn't they use the disclaimer or the qualification that it is like Earth?
Like ours, yeah. No. Hey, dude, I met someone who's just like you.
Except for it's...
Except she's not real. Like, it's that doesn't...
Well, you know, we have, in the past, we've done entire shows on how privileged our planet is.
Yes.
We are in the exact right place in our solar system. We're in the exact right... I mean, our Earth is tilted the exact right amount for life to occur.
We're in the cosmic habitable zone. We're in the galactic habitable zone. We have the right amount of water. We have the right climate, the right temperature, the right atmosphere. The moon's the right distance, the right size, the right weight.
Newsflash.
You want me to stop?
This other planet is not.
No, this other planet is not like Earth. It's like Earth.
But let's move there anyway.
It's rocky. But Adrian. It is cool. The name of the planet is Kepler-78b. Doesn't quite have the same ring to it.
Who wants to live there anyway?
As Earth does.
I do not want to live on a planet that is followed by numbers.
I live on Earth. I'm moving to Mars. Mm. I live on Kepler-78b.
Well, eventually, this will be Earth-01, so...
Well, it's in the Cygnus system, which is kind of a cool name, Cygnus. But anyway, so NASA's Kepler Space Telescope was used to discover this planet, and scientific teams in the United States and Switzerland use ground observatories to measure it, and it is... this thing is burning hot. So it orbits its sun
It's exactly like Earth, except for it's covered in ash.
Right. It orbits its sun every 8.5 hours.
Wow.
That's crazy.
You would get old really quick.
And actually, it's kind of a mystery to astronomers because they didn't think this could happen. They didn't think a rocky planet that size could be that close to its sun.
Mm.
So, you know, it's kind of neat. So anyway, that's the answer for my question today.
I got a question.
You know, you'd be like 21 years old in the first week. You know?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's awesome. All right. So, hey, guys, I want you to jump onto truthrevolution.tv. We're going to put a link there to kfapa.com, which is my organization. I'm president of the Kansas Foster Parent Association. We've got over 2,000 members right now. And these are all foster parents or adoptive parents in the state of Kansas. If you have questions... You can contact us and we'll get you in touch with myself or with someone who's going to be able to answer any question you have about foster care or adoption.
Right. And we need more people to adopt children.
That's right.
You know,
we do.
You know, at least get to know these kids, you know?
Yep.
I mean, be a friend.
Let me give you a top 7. Okay. We're going to put a top 10 list or link to a top 10 list of ways to help on our website at truthrevolution.tv. But let me give you 7 right now in the last 60 seconds of the show.
All right, do it.
Here's what you can do. You can pray for the orphans.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you can pray for them. You can even look them up online, and find these children who are able to be adopted right now. You can speak up for them. Okay, you can join CASA, for instance, and speak up for them at court. You can provide financially. You can give to a church where portions go to orphan causes. You can give to an orphan fund. You can support those who help orphans. You can mow, babysit, organize meals for foster parents.
Amen.
You can do a shower for a family who's adopting a child of any age. You can protect orphans. You can become a foster parent yourself or adopt a child. You can mentor and care for them by forming relationships with them. These kids need relationships even aside from foster parents. And you can support and care for birth parents who know that their children may be better off in an adoptive home. These are 7 ways, just bam, you can help right now. with it. So you can do it. Hey,
we are going to have links. So
yeah, links. Go to truthrevolution.tv and you'll find this information. Dave will put that set top seven list up as well.
Yep.
So, all right, guys, thanks for listening to Truth Revolution. Come on out to Revolution Church. The next service starts at 11:15 a.m. or you can catch us live online, live.salinarevolution.com.
There you go. That's all you need.
And you can find a link to that on truthrevolution.tv as well. So get over to truthrevolution.tv. Are you sensing a theme here?
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with evidence for God's existence.